Okay, so when I go in there for judgment, I need how many points to get into heaven?
1,000.
Should be, no problem. I was a good husband. How many points do you think I'll get for that?
Oh, 2.
2? Well, how much for being a doctor now? I saved lives.
3 points.
That's it? What about the time I ran into that burning house to save a kitten?
That was good.
And?
2 points.
But I could have died.
2 points.
I banked a lot on that stupid cat.
I'm sorry.
So to get into heaven, I need...
1,000 points.
And I have...
7. It's time for you to go in now.
No, wait a minute. I'm a pretty good fellow. If all I get is 7 points, how does anyone get into heaven?
They don't take the test.
What? Now, why not?
Because they know they don't meet God's standards.
Then how do they get into heaven?
They've asked Jesus to take the test for them. They get in on his score, not theirs.
Are you putting your faith in what you can do or accomplish? Or are you putting your faith in God?
A simple reminder brought to you by 316 Church in San Antonio. Check us out on the web at 316.org. That's THREE16.org. So Buddhism teaches that in order to be saved, there is an eightfold path to enlightenment, and one must escape the sufferings by entering into nirvana. Mormonism teaches that to be saved, you have to be exalted to godhood by the works that you do. Jehovah's Witness, they say that you must earn your way to salvation by working for it, like door-to-door proselytizing. The Islamic religion, they believe that there is a balance between good deeds and bad deeds, and that's what determines one's destiny by God, their God Allah, as whether they're going to go to heaven or hell. How about Christianity? Christianity teaches none of that. Christianity says that we are saved not by works, but by grace when we put our faith in Him. That, my friend, is called the gospel of grace.
Welcome to Rising Higher, the radio ministry sponsored by 316 Church in San Antonio, Texas. We are located at 7760 Prue Road between Babcock Road and Bandera Road. At 316 Church, our threefold mission is love, live, lead. We are called to love God and love people, live in Christ and for Christ, and lead our culture to Jesus. We meet for worship on Sundays at 9:15 a.m. and 11 a.m. Check us out at 316.org. That is THREE16.org. Join us here on KDRY every Monday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. and Saturday mornings at 8:30 a.m. And now, here is your host for Rising Higher, Pastor Randy Garcia.
Well, I shook my head in disbelief. This couldn't be the right place. After all, I couldn't possibly be welcomed here. I had been given an invitation several times by several different people and had finally decided to see what this place was all about. But could this be the place? I glanced at the invitation that I clutched in my hand. I scanned past the words that said, "Come as you are, no jacket required." And I found the location. Yeah, I was at the right place. I peered through the window again, and I saw a room of people whose faces seemed to glow with joy. All of them were neatly dressed, adorned in fine garments, and appeared strangely clean as they dined at this exquisite restaurant. Ashamed, I looked down at my own tattered and torn clothing, and I realized I was dirty. In fact, I was filthy. A foul smell seemed to consume me, and I couldn't shake the grime that hung to my body. As I turned to leave, the words from the invitation seemed to leap out at me once again, "Come as you are, no jacket required." So I decided to give it a shot, mustering up every bit of courage that I could find. I opened the door to this restaurant and walked up to a man standing behind the podium. "Your name, sir?" he asked me with a smile. "Jimmy D. Brown," I mumbled without even looking up. I thrust my hands deep into my pockets, hoping to conceal their stains. He didn't seem to notice the filth that I was covered in, and he continued to say, "Very good, sir. A table is reserved in your name. Would you like to be seated?" I couldn't believe what I heard. A grin broke out on my face, and I said, "Yes, of course. I'd love to be seated." He led me to a table, and sure enough, there was a place card with my name written on it in deep dark red. As I browsed over the menu, I saw many delightful items listed there. There were things on the menu like peace, joy, blessings, confidence, assurance, hope, love, faith, mercy, and so much more. It was then that I realized this is no ordinary restaurant. I flipped the menu back to the front of the menu to see what it was called, and there it is. In big words, it said, God's Grace. That was the name of this restaurant. The man returned and said, I recommend the special of the day, and with it, you are entitled to heaping portions of everything on this menu. You've got to be kidding, I thought to myself. You mean I can have all of this? What is a special of the day? I asked with excitement ringing in my voice. He said, salvation. I'll take it, I practically cried out. A sick, painful ache jerked through my stomach and tears filled my eyes. Between my sobs, I said, Mister, look at me. Look at me. I'm dirty. I'm nasty. I'm unclean. And I'm unworthy of all this treatment. I'd love to have all of this, but I gotta tell you, I just can't afford it. Undaunted, the man smiled again. Sir, your check has already been taken care of by that gentleman over there. As he said that, he pointed to the front of the room, and his name is Jesus. Turning, I saw a man whose very presence seemed to light up the room. He was almost too much to look at. I found myself walking toward him, and in a shaking voice, I whispered, Sir, I'll wash the dishes, I'll sweep the floors, I'll take out the trash, I'll do anything I can to and that I can do to repay all of this for you. He opened his arms and said with a smile, Son, all of this is yours if you just come to me. Ask me to clean you up, and I will. Ask me to take away the stains, and consider it done. Ask me to allow you to feast at my table, and it is here that you will eat. Remember, the table is reserved in your name. All you must do is accept this gift that I offer to you. Astonished, I fell at his feet and said, Please, Jesus, please clean up my life. Please change me and sit me at your table and give me this new life. Immediately, I heard the words, It is finished. I looked down, and white robes adorned my squeaky clean body. Something strange and wonderful had just happened. I felt new, like a weight had been lifted, and I found myself seated at his table. The special of the day had just been served to me. And the Lord says, Here it is. Salvation is yours. He told me, of all people, that he would like for me to come back as often as I would like for another helping of God's grace. He made it clear that he wanted me to spend as much time with him as possible. And as it drew time for me to go back outside into the real world, he whispered to me softly, I am with you always. And then he said something to me that I will never forget. He said, My child, you see these empty tables throughout this room? Yes, Lord, I see them. What do they mean? These are reserved tables, but the individuals whose names are on each place card have not accepted their invitations to come and dine. Would you be so kind as to hand out these invitations to those who have not joined us quite yet? Of course, I said with excitement as I picked up the invitations. Go into all the nations and share the good news. That's what he said as he turned to leave. Well, I realized that I walked into God's grace, this great restaurant, dirty and hungry, stained in sin. My righteousness were like filthy rags, but it was Jesus who cleaned me up. I walked out a brand new man, robed in white, his righteousness. And so I'll keep my promise to my Lord. I'll go, I'll spread the word, I'll share the gospel, I'll hand out invitations. And so today I start with you. Have you been to God's grace? Have you opened up this gift? Have you had the special of the day? There's a table reserved in your name, and your invitation is yours. And remember these words, come as you are. No jacket required. Thank you for tuning in to Rising Higher. I open up with that story about God's grace because that's what we've been talking about here this week on Rising Higher. Charis, Charis, is the Greek word that we translate to English as grace. Paul says this in Romans 5:20, the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. I love that. Now, I want to read that passage in the verse that follows in the Message version. And I love the way it says it here. Just listen to this, Romans 5, 20 and 21. All that passing laws against sin did was produce more lawbreakers, but sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness that we call grace. When it's sin versus grace, grace wins hands down. All sin can do is threaten us with death, and that's the end of it. Grace, because God is putting everything together again through the Messiah, invites us into life, a life that goes on and on and on, a world without end. So what is grace? Well, if you look at the Greek word charis, it pretty much means this: God's unmerited favor. God's unmerited favor. And today, I want to encourage you to make sure that you have accepted the grace of God. And not just for the time that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but every day, God extends us His grace so that we can win at life. Win? Yeah, that's what I want to talk about after this quick break. There's three places in life that I believe grace helps you and I win. I want to talk about that because, after all, you are invited to the place of God's grace. And as you arrive, you're going to open up this gift, and so much comes with it. Do we realize what it is? The grace of God. We're going to talk about at least three different areas that we can win with God's grace. First of all, I want to take a quick break. You're listening to Rising Higher, brought to you by 316 Church. We are located in the northwest area of San Antonio at 7760 Prue Road. That is between Babcock and Bandera Road. Feel free to check us out on the web at 316.org. That's THREE16.org. Every Sunday, we gather together for worship at 9:15 and 11 o'clock. If you're looking for a church, I invite you to come on by and join us at 316. We'll be right back as today we continue our sermon series, Charis. Today, we're talking about God's grace.
When I drank, it was just to shut my mind off, and I just wanted peace, and I just wanted everything to stop, but it just made it worse. I came to Adult and Teen Challenge, and I have my life back. God has done that for me.
Hey, this is Mike Weaver from Big Daddy Weave. If you or a loved one, whether a teen or an adult, is ready to end an addiction, Teen Challenge can help.
Here in San Antonio, we are blessed to have both a men's Adult and Teen Challenge campus and a women's Adult and Teen Challenge campus. For adults ages 18 to 50, here's the number to call, 210-624-2075. Do you have a teenager who is dealing with self-destructive or dangerous behaviors? New Hope Christian Academy for Boys and Thrive Girls Ranch have campuses in the greater Austin area. Perhaps you would like to do what my wife and I do. We sponsor a teen challenge student. For only $35 per month, you can get a photo and a profile of your student and an invitation to their graduation. Here's a number to call, 1-866-913-4181, or log on to teenchallengetx.org.
Just when they think they got your game set, match. Oh, 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 here comes a comeback.
Hey, this is Danny Gokey, and I just want to quickly drop some encouragement into your spirit. I don't know what things have been going on in your life, but I know that there are so many people discouraged, but do not give up yet, because God has a promise that He's going to finish what He started in you. There are greater things that you have yet to see. This is your comeback year. You're listening to Rising Higher Radio with Pastor Randy Garcia.
Grace wins. That word such we're talking about today here on Rising Higher. Part of our sermon series this week, Charis. God's grace, God's unmerited favor. So why do I say grace wins? Well, number one, let's talk about this. Grace wins over religion. What? Over religion? Let me read to you 2 Peter 3:17, where the word of God talks to us about be careful about false teachers and the religions that are around us. Scripture says this, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we've got to be careful about those false teachers. Don't be led astray. And I encourage you with that because there's a difference between what so many religions teach and what the Word of God teaches, which is grace. Christianity, it's the only religion that is based on the grace of God. Buddhism teaches that in order to be saved, there is an eightfold path to enlightenment, and one must escape the sufferings by entering into nirvana. Mormonism teaches that to be saved, you got to be exalted to godhood by the works that you do. Jehovah's Witness, well, they teach that a person must be baptized as a Jehovah's Witness and must earn their salvation by working for it, like door-to-door proselytizing. The Islamic religion, well, they believe that there is a balance between good deeds and bad deeds, and it is determined by their God, Allah, and once that is determined, then that's going to dictate whether one's destiny is either going to heaven or paradise. Yeah, based on what we do. But how about Christianity? Quite different than all these other religions that I just mentioned. Christianity teaches us, I'm talking about the Word of God now, that we are saved by God's grace when we place our faith in Him. It's not based on a gospel of works, but it's a gospel of the grace of God. Remember this, the more we learn about God, the more we can understand about God's grace. One college professor passed out his exam in his class and said, read through the entire test the whole way before beginning to answer it. This caution was written on the exam as well. As the students read the test, it became unquestionably clear to everyone that they hadn't studied quite enough. But the further the students read, the worse it became, and about halfway through, the audible groans could be heard throughout the lecture hall. But on the last page, there was a note that read this, you have a choice. You can either complete the exam as given and sign, or sign your name at the bottom, and in doing so, by just simply signing your name, you will receive an A for this assignment. Wow, was he serious? Just sign your name and you get an A? Slowly, the point dawned on the students one by one, and they turned in their test and silently began to file out of that room. But some students began to take the exam without reading it all the way through, and they would sweat it out for the entire 2 hours of class time before reaching the last page. Then there were other students who read the first couple of pages. They became angry, turned the test in blank, and stormed out of the room without even signing it, never realizing what was available to them. Then there was one student, who read the entire test, including the note at the end, but he decided to take the test anyway. You see, he didn't want any handouts. He wanted to earn his grade, and that's exactly what he did. He made a C+, but actually he could have had an A. You see, this story illustrates how different people have different reactions to God's solution to sin, grace. Some people look at God's standard, moral and ethical perfection. They throw their hands up and surrender and think to themselves, why even try? So they tell themselves, I could never live up to all this stuff of religion. Others are like the student who read the test through and was aware of the professor's offer, but took the test anyway, unwilling to simply receive God's gift of forgiveness. There's some people who want to rack up enough points to earn God's favor. You see, God's grace truly is like the professor's offer. It may seem unbelievable, but if we accept it, then like the stunned students who accepted the professor's offer, we too will discover that yes, God's grace is free. All we need to do is accept it. So, number one, grace wins over religion. Number two, grace wins over fear and doubt. You see, sometimes life gets the best of you and I, and that's when God extends to us His grace. You see, the reality is that the devil is constantly on our back, and that's when God extends His grace to us. And then there are times that people can really test our patience. They know how to push our buttons. That's when we can receive the grace of God. You see, Peter learned his lesson, and when he learned this lesson, he grew in the grace of God. I'm talking about the incident that's recorded in Matthew 14:28, where Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to the water." Would Peter have enough faith to step out of the boat and walk on water? "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why do you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You see, Peter, he made a mistake. He took his eyes off of Jesus and began to sink. Oh, but he's grateful for the lesson he learned about the grace of God. Because by the grace of God, Jesus reached out his hand and pulled Peter out of the water as he began to sink. You see, remember this, grace means that all of your mistakes now serve a purpose instead of serving shame. Romans 10:13, by the way, says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say all the religious people in the world who call on the name of the Lord. No. It doesn't say all the intelligent people who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. No. It says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wow. That is the grace of God. So, number one, grace wins over religion. Number two, grace wins over fear and doubt. And number three, grace wins hands down. I read once again from Romans 5:20-21, and that's the way the Message version of the Bible explains grace. Let me read it to you one more time. Hands down. Okay, it says this, "All that passing laws against sin did was produce more lawbreakers, but sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness that we call grace. When it's sin versus grace, grace wins, hands down. All sin can do is threaten us with death, and that's the end of it. Grace, because God is putting everything together again through the Messiah, invites us into life, a life that goes on and on and on, world without end." Paul says this in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Yeah, life is difficult. Whether you are a Christ follower or not, life is difficult. One preacher I was listening to a while back, I heard him say this that I disagree with. He says, "If you give your heart to Jesus, you won't have any more problems." Well, no, that's not true. The truth is life is difficult whether we are a Christ follower or not. The difference is that when we invite Christ into our life, he walks us through every situation with his grace. Once again, Romans 5:21. I love this because it says grace invites us into life. Grace, because God is putting everything together again through the Messiah, invites us into life, a life that goes on and on, world without end. You see, some people think that grace is only extended to us when we give our heart to the Lord, when we're saved. Well, that's when we first get the grace, yes. But grace continues to operate in our lives even today. Author Jerry Bridges says it this way, "We tend to give an unbeliever just enough of the gospel to get him or her to pray to receive Christ. Then we put the gospel on the shelf and introduce the law. But the truth is this, the grace that brought you the gift of salvation is the same grace that brings us closer to God every day. There are times that I need to open up God's gift of grace because for me, I'm far from perfect. And sometimes I need God's grace even when I haven't done anything wrong. Sometimes it's just life happens. Someone talks about me behind my back. Someone takes advantage of me. Someone lets me down, and I feel empty. That's when I need the grace of God. When I'm going through the difficult times of life, I need the grace of God. God's grace is amazing. It is amazing. Mel is 52 years old and has had his ups and downs in life. He goes to church once or twice a month, but is really not committed to the Lord the way he should be. He's not a bad person. He says he hasn't sinned a lot, but he is feeling guilty. He doesn't have true joy. Today he realizes that it's time to take a step of faith and be totally committed to the Lord. And now he opens up God's wonderful gift called grace. Jared is 39 years old, and he's made some mistakes in life, big mistakes. He wants to come to the Lord and make things right, but he doesn't know if God can forgive him of all that he's done. The list is long, but he hears this message about God's love and forgiveness, and he decides to pray and ask Jesus into his heart. Now he has eternal life because of God's grace. Teresa, she's 47 and loves the Lord, but is having to deal with one problem after another. Health issues, work issues, family issues. How does she overcome? She knows what she needs to do. She needs to surrender her life to the Lord. She needs to focus less on her problems and more on her solution. And what is that solution? To step into the grace of God. My friend, every one of us needed the grace of God when we gave our heart to the Lord, and we need it now. God's grace, charis, is unmerited favor upon you and I. Amen. We're going to have to come to a close. You've been listening to Rising Higher, brought to you by 316 Church. Check us out on the web at 316.org. That's THREE16.org. Join us tomorrow as we continue this sermon series, Charis, God's Grace, His Unmerited Favor. Today's edition of Rising Higher is brought to you by Premier Insurance Solutions.
Hi, this is Pastor Randall Sean Garcia, lead pastor at 316 Church. First and foremost, I want to say thank you for listening to Rising Higher with Pastor Randy Garcia. Many of you already know about a transition that my father and I recently made as I transitioned from the business world owning an insurance agency into being the lead pastor at 316 Church. And since I've helped a lot of people with their Medicare questions over the past 7.5, 8 years, I continue to get asked, Pastor Randall Sean, who can I go to for my Medicare questions? And I want to give you some good news. The Medicare agency is still available if you need help navigating the confusing world of Medicare, or if you just simply want to ask questions to see what you qualify for. My lead agent, Tamika Smith, is now taking appointments. She can help you see if you qualify to get the $148.50 back into your Social Security check. She can see what plan options are available to you, how you can lower your deductibles and your copays. Call her now at 210-760-2379. That's Tamika Smith at 210-760-2379.